We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming to the program an acclaimed writer, inker, and producer. You know him for his work with characters like, well, Harley Quinn that we were talking about earlier, Painkiller Jane, Jonah Hex. We are thrilled to be joined by Jimmy Palmiotti. Jimmy, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rich. Thank you for having me.
Well, we have to give a little credit to Jonathan Sheck, who was on with us last week, and you commented on the interview. We saw that and reached out, and it's great to have that connection. How long have you been friends with John?
I'd say like a little over a year now. I mean, we got in contact with each other when he was playing Jonah Hex on TV, and then last time I was out in L.A., we kind of made sure we got to meet each other and hang out and talk, and we've been talking ever since. He's just a super talented, sweet, wonderful guy, you know. He's one of those people you meet not very often in your lifetime, so I'm making sure to keep in touch with him. He's just a great dude.
Yeah, he sure is. Well, when did you first know this is what you wanted to do with your life?
When I was younger, I wanted to draw comics. I was more drawn to the artwork of it. And I think it wasn't until, it wasn't when I was in high school, I went to the High School of Art and Design in New York. And when I started seeing what comic book artists were making for a living, I said, well, maybe this isn't the job for me. They did not make much money. And I went into advertising and I did very well in that. But when I turned 30, I still felt like I still wanted to do comics, and I wanted to give it a shot. And I really got into getting professional work in my 30s, and I've been working ever since. But I think it just came from having comic books around the house. Growing up with three brothers, you kind of had to have your own time away from them, and I would take my comics, sit outside and read them, and nobody would bother me. Of course, these wild worlds. I read, you know, superheroes and westerns and action comics, and you know, it just opened up a world of just an intriguing world to me. And I love the visual representation of storytelling, so I fell in love at an early age.
Well, Rich has already mentioned Jonah Hex, and you mentioned growing up reading those westerns. The 6 year or so run that you had on Jonah Hex with Justin Gray was just a great revival of a character that a lot of people had really fond memories of. And at the time, it was sort of a return to the single-issue story format. Was that like just an intention right from the start that you wanted to go back to that type of storytelling?
I did, for a couple of reasons, too, because it came out monthly. When you have a book that's monthly and you have an artist, they have to hurry to get the book done every time. And I figured if Justin and I presented in one format, one story per issue, we could actually write ahead like six or seven stories and have different artists working on them. And because of that, it took off pretty well. And because of that, I got to actually use artists that other people wouldn't touch because they couldn't keep a monthly schedule or they were too hard to wrangle. And because I was working on the character Jonah Hex, all of a sudden out of the woodwork, all these really amazing artists that, oh, you know, I'd find time to do one of those. And so when we were into the run, our initial run was 70 issues. We had so many artists lined up doing work. It was fantastic, you know. So 70 issues of a Western written by a guy from Brooklyn and another guy from White Plains was a pretty interesting time. But I loved the character when I was a kid. I read it when I grew up. So I said, one day I'm going to write that character. And I got lucky enough to do it myself.
Hey, you mentioned the artists sort of lining up to work on that book, and it included some of the artists from, you know, that had worked on it in the 70s. How much of a treat, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, was it to work with those guys that had done the book that you grew up with?
Yeah, I mean, Tony DeZugno was a co-creator of the character, and when I first started writing the book, I ran into Tony at a convention, and of course I gushed, and I bought some artwork from him, and since I was a huge fan, and we got to talking, and I said, would you ever want to do another one? And he's like, absolutely. So we created a hardcover. We did a hardcover book for Tony to draw, which was 120-something pages. It is the cool, probably the most fun part of my job is I get to work with guys like Tony and at the time he's no longer with us, but Darwin Cook and Dick Giordano, and these are like superstars for me. So the idea we were writing something for them was really intimidating, but not intimidating enough that I would pass on it. So, you know, because I didn't want to, I figured once in a lifetime opportunity, I better step up and get to work. And I just consider the whole thing very lucky. And DC Comics, God bless them, they knew Jonah Hex was not a big seller. Westerns are very hard to sell in comics. But I was told by them, you know, it's such a good quality book. Even though the sales aren't really where we want it, we're going to still keep it around. So they really stuck by me, which was a great thing.
We're talking with Jimmy Palmiotti here on Downtown. Well, we're in a golden age for comic book movies, but I'm curious. We know what comic books have done in creating story ideas for the movies, but what's been happening in the other direction? Has it also elevated the source material and created more opportunities for artists like yourself?
It's funny. I have a lot of creator-owned things. My paper films company that like Painkiller Jane and Ash and The Crow and stuff like that. And we do get a lot of interest from Hollywood. They initially like to change everything. You know, they want to buy it and then change it, but it's getting a little better out there. It's still tough because, you know, again, with these properties, they have no problem mining what we do, but they definitely, a comic book is usually only written like one writer, one artist, or maybe two artists on it. So it's a very focused and intimate thing that's created. And when you talk about things translating to film or TV, we're talking about hundreds and sometimes a thousand people working on it. So, and I've done work in the business because I've done screenwriting, I've had screenplays, I've worked on TV shows and stuff. But creating the comics is such a pure medium to me that I will never not do it. I love seeing Harley Quinn, the Birds of Prey on the screen, you know, seeing the work that Amanda and I did. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, okay, but I don't own that. So the real satisfaction comes from creating something from scratch and seeing it developed. But it is, look, they're mining us for ideas because, let's be honest, how many different TV and cable stations are there now? They need content. So comic books have always been the origin of a lot of content, and it just makes sense.
Do you find yourself getting at all protective of those characters that you've drawn yourself so close to?
I do. I with Harley Quinn, I was lucky because Christine Grodin and Margot Robbie, they love the character and love the book. And I mean, there's a couple of times we talked with them and visited them. They were extremely loyal to the character. I do get protective because when Jonah Hex was made, I did everything I could to try to get involved with the production. I was like, please hire me to consult. Please, please, please. And, you know, the reason you're making it is because our book is doing well. So, but that wasn't the case. And then when the film came out, of course, it's disappointing because they lost track of who he was and they were trying to fit the character into some other thing. And of course, comic people are very loyal. When they see the characters getting changed, they make a lot of noise about it. You know, the internet is definitely not the quiet place. So they're very vocal about things. But yeah, I am protective about everything, but I'm also understand that I have to let a property have a life somewhere else. So when I do work with people, I am the first person to go, you know, that's not a bad idea. As long as we keep to the core of the idea, the character, then we can explore these things. So I do love to work with people, but as long as they kind of keep the core of the character, it's very important.
I have to agree with you on that Hex movie. Having read it for Hex for, I don't know, 40 years or so now, maybe even longer. That was such a disappointment, but that's a character that I feel that does feel like it would lend itself to a series.
Yeah, how it's not, how Warner Brothers has not made it into an HBO weekly series or something, it's beyond me. With Jonah Hex and Tallulah Black, this is the stuff that, honestly, I feel they can take the redundant ones we did and make them into our TV programming so easily. I just think that their focus is in the superhero world, and I'm hoping eventually they get to Jonah. I'll sit and wait, you know?
It would be nice to see. Now, you made mention of paper films and the Kickstarter projects you've done. You've done a dozen or so of those right now. The current one is Creator-Owned Heroes, which is a collection of works by some of the just huge names in comics. Neil Gaiman, Bernie Wrightson, the Hernandez brothers, along with interviews. What was the genesis of that project?
You know, when you have a lot of friends, you can do things easily. And so everybody in that book was somebody I knew, and I called in favors. But I wanted to create a monthly magazine slash comic book that came out. And you know, we got 8 issues in, and it wasn't selling what it should have. The retailers didn't get behind it too much. And so it had a short lifespan. So I just did the, I just finished the Kickstarter to do a digital collection of it. But it was my idea of, I love to read comics, but a lot of times I feel like for the $3 or $4 you pay for the book, sometimes the experience goes by really quick. Mm. So I was doing for the same price, I was creating like 64 or 68 page or 72 page books for the same price, where you would actually read the story and then you'd read an interview with the artist and then you'd see an article on how to create comics or cosplay and stuff like that. I got really aggressive, and it was probably just the timing was off on it. But everything I do like that, I kind of try, I experiment, feel out the market. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it doesn't really stop me from trying. So, and that's where the Kickstarters come in, because I can put an idea out there, and the audience will tell me if it's good or not by how much they support the project.
What does make Kickstarter, that platform, such an important outlet for comics creators today?
It's a grassroots thing, because every person that backs your book, you get their name, their email. You start a relationship with them. So you get like this. So the people that support my Kickstarter, they come back to all of them. I pack up their packages, so I see familiar names and I throw in something a little extra, or I write a personal note and saying, "Hope you're doing well. Hope to see you again in San Diego." I love the idea of Kickstarter because I can experiment and do some ideas that normally would not sell or would not be something the companies were looking for, the bigger companies. And I also have this connection with my audience. And inevitably, with each Kickstarter, they tell me what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing based on the reception and how much they support each project. So it is something that's very unique. But I will say a lot of the people in my business don't have the patience, or they don't like packing up 1,000 packages, and I get it. But I'm a little aggressive, so I definitely don't mind it. I have a zen-like experience when I'm doing that, so it's all good.
So what's next for you and Amanda? What can we be looking forward to?
So we have out tomorrow. We have the Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey miniseries we did. So the first issue hits tomorrow, and if you've seen the movie, it's sort of like the next time Harley meets the Birds of Prey. And Amanda drew the book. So we have those 4 issues coming out of the Black Label book from DC Comics in the stores tomorrow. And we also every month we write a short story, a done in one Wonder Woman story for the DC 100 page books, which are available in like Walmart and Target. And the core of these books are to get comic books to people that don't normally have comic books, you know, that don't have a comic book store. They don't have access. So these done-in-ones are done with a whole bunch of pages, and they're very cheap. They're like $4.99 books for 100 pages a story. And that's the basic thing we're doing now. Our main focus is Harley Quinn and Wonder Woman, getting to do 2 of the biggest icons of the DC library right now. So it's a pretty good time for us.
Those books remind me a lot of like World's Finest and Adventure from when I was real young reading comics, where it just gives you a nice sample of a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I think I love them because I love the idea I can pick up one book for a low price and read it for hours. Yeah. And it is. It's a childhood experience we had, except it was a quarter when we were buying them.
And now, along with all the characters we've already talked about, you've done a lot of other Marvel and DC characters. Is there one from those two publishers, you know, is there one character that you haven't had a shot at that is just like on your dream list, you want to take a shot at that character?
I would actually, in DC, I would say I'd want to do Power Girl again with Amanda. I'd want another shot at that and to do a miniseries with them. For Marvel, it's funny because I worked on almost every character they have. So You know, there was a time when I was doing Marvel Knights and doing publishing through them and helping them out when they were in Chapter 11, that I got to do Daredevil and The Punisher, mm-hmm. and Inhumans. I got to work on all these books. But I still maybe because I've never written the Hulk, it might be fun to write the Hulk. But I don't know. You know, it's like every day I get offered stuff and I look at it and I say, do I really have something to say about this character or can I find the voice? And as I get older, I'm realizing I turn down stuff because I'm not the right person, which is a lot different when I was younger and I took everything they ever offered me to do on, you know, because I thought they'll never call me again. Let me do this. So I've been getting a little pickier, but I think there's just great libraries, but I think my main focus is creating my own characters probably in the future. That's probably going to be where my energy is going to go.
Well, Jimmy, it's great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making some time for us this afternoon, and we hope we can do it again down the road.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Jimmy Palmiotti with us here on Downtown.